A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everybody, welcome back to The Shift. I hope you had a lovely week. This week's guest is a comedian from New York City. She's also a friend of mine, Amanda Gale. I asked her to be on the podcast because I remembered her giving me great advice when I was dating someone and they didn't really want to commit, but I was given the girlfriend experience and she kind of pointed that out, which I hadn't really realized before. So we talk about that in this episode. We also talk about like narcissists in general or narcissistic friendships as well. So that was a really interesting conversation. Amanda had some really great points. And then we just had the chats as well. She chatted a bit about her new boyfriend. I chatted about my boyfriend. Also as well, the audio isn't the best on this one because we did it over Zoom. But I got it as good as I could get it. And then at one stage, I said Bernie at the start when I meant to say Biden. So before any of you even think about messaging me about that, I meant to say Biden. I know that Biden's resident and not Bernie. But other than that, if you want to watch the video for this, it's on the Patreon. So patreon.com/theshiftpodcast. There's also solo episodes up there every week. And then next week's episode is already up there with Ash Diggs. He's a comedian whose mother's from Ireland and his father's from America. He's born in America, but he's half Irish and spent summers in Ireland. So he chats about that. And I'm very excited about that episode. Also, if you'd like to rate and review, that'd be great. Enjoy this episode and I'll talk to you at the end. But first, how are you today?
I'm good. I'm really excited to be here. I love all the stuff you put on the internet and social media. So I'm really excited to join your podcast.
Thank you. It's a dating, relationship, sex positive podcast from someone who doesn't know a lot about sex. But and then sometimes just a chat. It's like me and Brendan did it last week and we talked about weed, and me and Sam did it the other night and talked about therapy. So it doesn't ever have to stay on topic. But
yeah,
like the listeners remember when I was dating the DJ and I called him the DJ, and I remember you gave me great advice. What was it again? I was saying like, oh, we were like sleeping together and we were seeing each other and you went on this big great vent, and I was like, oh, we should talk about that on the podcast.
Well, I think that you are, I think the world of you, first of all, and I think you're someone that deserves a title. And I think he was acting like a boyfriend, wasn't giving you the boyfriend title. And I felt like you had very low standards for him. And I don't mean that to offend you by saying that, but I remember you saying like, but Amanda, he's so great. He brought me English tea breakfast. And it's like, that should be the minimum that you should expect from a guy. He, you know what I mean? That's the bare minimum. And the fact that he wasn't giving you a title, and I think you had some story about he didn't go out for your birthday or like he didn't invite something. And I'm just like, Katie. And then you show me a picture of the guy, and please excuse me for saying, but I'm like, you are the hotter one for sure. And again, I think the world of you, and I think that you deserve a title.
I find, well, for me, I have very low standards in general anyway. I'm just like, that was so funny because I said it to you at the time. So I think me and him had been dating just around 3 months nearly. And we had said we were exclusive, but he was like, you know, but I don't want to use the relationship term. And then I spoke to you about it and you were very like direct. And most people are kind of like, oh, like whatever you, and it was a real eye opener for me because it was like very hearing you say it back. I was like, oh, that is bad. Like a nice fresh slap in the face, where like as if someone shakes you and you're like, oh. And it was funny because I ended up ending it with him after our conversation.
Oh no.
It was good though. No, it was good because we talked about it. That was when I think Bernie was getting into office and you were just like, kind of explained to me like what the girlfriend experience is. And I didn't realize I had been giving the girlfriend experience without actually being a girlfriend. So I was giving him all this effort and being there for him without ever see like receiving a title. And then that night he wanted a lot from me. I think he didn't want to see me or spend time with me, even though like Bernie had like won and it was like a big thing to celebrate. But then that night he wanted to see me and he was like really down about the whole thing. He was just like very, and I was like, why am I dealing with these guys' problems if I'm not even a, even if I am a girlfriend, I shouldn't have to deal with these problems. You should hire a therapist.
Exactly. Emotional support for, you know, you're not responsible for someone's emotional well-being. I mean, it's nice to be there for your friends and your boyfriend or the guy you're talking to, but you know, don't go out of your way for someone that won't even give you a title. You deserve that. You're the girlfriend. You're not the, I don't know what she is. Like that, you don't, especially you, someone like you, you're a high level. You're like a high quality person. That's how I look at you.
Thank you.
You know, you look like you have, you know, you have a lot of friends. You're, you know, you're obviously very attractive. You have this great podcast. You're doing well in comedy. You're such a great person too. You're friendly. Like you're a high quality person that should have higher standards for any relationship, and even friendships too. You shouldn't settle for low standards in friendships. Yeah. So, but I also don't want the listeners to confuse that with impossible standards. Like obviously there's like impossible standards. Like, you know, someone should drop everything for you. There's standards that are like impossible, but you should have pretty high standards of how people treat you. In the vicinity of not being impossible. You know what I'm saying? Some people have impossible standards, like they're narcissists. Like I've been friends with people like that who just have standards that no one could live up to. So
that's so true. I have two things to say about that, because I think the first thing when it comes to like the non-narcissist thing is like, for me, I was like, he got me tea, and you and another friend is engaged to my friend. They're both my friends. And I was like, oh yeah, well, you know, like, and he would make me, because he was like, let's talk about the good and the bad. And I was like, well, he got me Irish tea and he made me breakfast in the mornings. And he was like, yeah, but he's also making himself breakfast. It'd be kind of weird if he didn't make you breakfast. And he was like, well, what about when you're like, you know, does he go to your house? And I was like, no, I always go to his. And I was like, okay, well, does he have a car? And I said, yeah. And he said, does he drive you home? And I said, no, I usually get the train or a taxi. And he was like, but it's like 10 minutes to drive you home. And I was like, yeah. And he was like, okay, these are like bare minimum, Katie. And I was like, oh, okay. But sometimes you're just like, especially easygoing people, I think, or maybe if they don't expect a lot. And it's like, you're right. You just have to be like, okay. Or if you haven't seen it in other relationships or in your childhood or whatever, right, it's hard to be like, oh, this is what I should expect. But the same about what you said about people expecting too much. I had a friend, we were friends for like a few years, and she's very nice. I would still be friendly with her, like if I saw her, but I mean, what she needed from the friendship was way too much. And the expectant, like it was a lot of drama, a lot of me needing me to be there, which I was fine with, until she turned on another friend and expected me to cut him off. And I was like, I'm not going to do that. And she was like, well, then I'm not going to be your friend. But in my head, I was like, that's fine. This friendship has been taking too much of my, and then we'd still be friendly, but it's not like as much. So it's just, but she has a belief that she's owed all of this attention without ever repaying in any sort of way or without ever being there for her people. But yeah, it was way too much.
I've had plenty of, I seem to attract narcissists with friendships. So I know exactly the experience you're talking about, just like unrealistic expectations. There's no sympathy for, you know, I think in friendship and in relationships, we all quote unquote fuck up. We all make mistakes, but it seems like when you're friends with narcissists, it's just so overblown. There's no room for error. Everything is a slight toward them. You're betraying them. You're not their real friend. You're using them, all these things. And it's like, no, I was just caught up in my own head and I wasn't there for you. I wasn't as, you know, I wasn't as emotionally available because I was dealing with my own shit. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, I've had that experience, but you should have realistic expectations and high standards for people, you know, that you're putting. The thing is, you're putting effort into this guy, so he should do the same. So
I know, but again, he was probably a bit narcissist, so he's probably just used to, But it's interesting talking about narcissists and friendship because, and this isn't a route that I thought we were going down, but I think, you know, we talk a lot about dating, people dating narcissists and how to avoid that and stuff like that. But there is a lot of narcissist friendships. One of my best friends, she's amazing. And she was like talking about some other girl. And I was like, if this was your boyfriend, I would be like, oh, this is too much. And you're not even her boyfriend.
Yeah.
So there is times where you're like, you know, someone getting upset that they didn't get invited somewhere or that you didn't text back. And it's like, Jesus, people have a life. Or you have those friends who only call you when they're upset or when they need something, but they would never think to be like, well, how are you?
Right. Right. And there's always, and with narcissists, there's always an excuse. There's always a valid excuse for them to mess up. But for you, it's because you're inherently bad. So for them, it's like, oh, because I was caught up. But when you mess up, it's you're a bad person. You're a user. You're not my real friend. You're like all the, they'll really, you know, dig at you. It's the biggest deal in the world if you don't do what they want when they want it, the way they want it.
Yeah. And it's really sad. I'd hate to be like that. I'd hate to constantly push people away, or because if you also have that high expectation on people, you're gonna let yourself down as well. And I think, well, I guess for narcissists they can't see this way, but ideally if someone does something, you gotta just be like, if they don't text back, you just gotta be like, if someone doesn't text me back, like if Brendan forgets to text me back, the automatic thing I think is, oh my God, I forgot to text Janelle. Do you know, I'm not like, oh, it just reminds me that I forgot to text somebody else. So I'm not mad at them. I'm just like, that's life. And yeah, and people, it's never personal, but people make it personal. You're like, no one cares about you that much for it to be personal.
No.
And they would also just ghost you. If someone doesn't want to be your friend, they'll just ghost you. They're not going to like do this Like, and I'm sure there's times where people say things and they do bad things. But yeah, this is like when it's minor things, you're like, oh, Jesus.
I know. It's just like, get a light, read a book or something.
Yeah, I know. Get a light. We have, my boyfriend's friend, I think I've talked about on the podcast before, but I'm not sure, but he kind of, he probably didn't mean to, but he shit stirred a little bit. He told me stuff that he probably shouldn't have told me. And it was like a little uncomfortable, but I already knew, thankfully my boyfriend had told me, but I've always kind of thought about this situation and been like, oh, this person's a bit of a, like they probably don't even realize, but they must like being in drama or starting drama or being involved in it, because no reasonable person would sit down with your friend's girlfriend and say the things he said. He started telling me private business from his previous life about other girlfriends, yeah, and stuff. And I was like, like, he's just lucky that Leland had told me all this stuff. But I was laughing at Leland afterwards, and I was like if I didn't know any of that, I would have been like shocked, I would have been taken aback, or I would have been like, this is very uncomfortable. But like, we've talked all about our previous partners, so it's fine. But
does he have a crush on you, this guy? Why would he do that to his friend?
I think he's just a probably doesn't even realize it, but he's probably just a bit of a likes drama or something. I don't know. Maybe he just didn't know what to talk to me about, and he's a bit of an idiot.
Oh,
but
yes, I know exactly those kind of people. It's like, these people say dumb things or they say inappropriate things, and you're like, they're just assholes. But then you have to remember, like, some people are socially awkward and they just want to talk and they don't have to say. So then they do say the stupid thing, or they're telling you information they should not be telling you. You know, it's inappropriate. It's totally inappropriate for this guy to tell you about your boyfriend's past love life. It's so inappropriate. But thank God you're such a nice, I mean, you're such an understanding, empathetic person that you're not like your boyfriend's not upset that he did that either.
No, he was like, I think because like, and it was, you know, I was like, you need to talk to him for sure. And just, you know, for future reference. But he was just kind of like, well, I'm kind of used to this with him. And it's only just been like a further of, I just, who I can tell people things and stuff like that. And the guy was like really distraught about it, because he texted me the next day and he saw my friend was there at the time, and he saw my friend the next day and he kept bringing it up. But mid conversation, I said to him, like, I don't need to hear this. And he was trying to like backtrack. And I just go, just drop the shovel. Honestly, it's grand. Put it down. You're digging yourself into a hole. And then he was like, okay. And I went to the toilet to excuse myself from the conversation. When I came back, he started it up again. And then I left. And when I was leaving, he came out to me and was like, I'm so sorry. I don't know what's wrong with me. And I was like, honestly, it's fine. And then he texted me the next day and he was like, I'm really sorry about that. And I was like, oh no, because what happened when I was in the bar, he said, like, don't tell Leland about this. And I said, no, I'm definitely telling Leland. And he was like, what? And I go, I'm sorry, I'm not annoyed with you, but I don't owe any responsibility to you. And it's a conversation me and him need to have anyway. And him and you are going to have, because clearly. And so the next day he texted me on Instagram apologizing. And I was like, it's fine. But I did tell Leland. And then, yeah, he just texted him being like, look, dude, just fucking don't.
Stop. Yeah. And that's fine. You guys are really nice people. Most people would be like, I'm not going to be friends with that guy ever. Or I'm not going to bring him around ever. That's really nice and understanding that you two were like, it's just whoever being, whatever his name is, being whoever.
Yeah, I think it's one of the things where he's friends with all of his friends. And I think it's like not a malicious thing. I think if it was a malicious thing, but I think it is. This is so mean that I'm going to say this and people are going to be like, you're being mean, but I don't care. If you don't like meanness, skip on. And I said this on the Patreon podcast already, so the Patreon listeners know this, but when I look at him, he looks like, you know that oh my god, I'm going to hell for this, but you know that chart where there's like ape and then there's man, but he's just like a step back from man, you know? He's just like, he's very like,
he's just very, they're called the Neanderthal, like when the Neanderthals were like the evolution of man. That's so fucking funny.
It's so mean, but that's where I'm just like, I don't think it's malicious. I think he's just like he's too tall, and like, you know, he's the type he'd probably bang his head into if the ceilings were a little lower. So yeah,
he's not an evolved man. He's like a set before an evolved man. That's his excuse. His brain, he's a Neanderthal brain. That's the problem.
Yeah, so you just have to give some people a pass. About evolution, that's the thing. It's like sometimes you know there's people being malicious, and but like Leland's great because there was someone who just made up that he said something he didn't, and like he was like, well, that's like behavior I don't want to be around. So he just ghosted them from friend, like he didn't call. And I think that's a good way to handle things, because I think the problem is as well, when we have like these issues in friendship or something, you try to like argue, but most people don't want to hear that they're wrong. So if they're even I sometimes think if they're not like adding to your life, it's better just to ghost them. Like, ghost your friends, because if they're a friend where you want to be like, look, that was really mean, you've done this 3 times, but if they're kind of like it's just going to cause drama and they're going to be a dick, unless there's someone you really care about and you know that they're going to listen and you can communicate and sit down. Like Tori, we have stuff all the time where she's like, oh my god, you said that and like really hurt my feelings, and I'm like, oh my god, I didn't even realize, oh, I'm such an idiot, and we'll like communicate, and then I know, oh, that's a trigger for her, don't say that again.
Perfect. This is why you're a high quality person. This is why you're a high quality person, Katie. You're not a narcissist. A narcissist would, if Tori approached a narcissist about it, they go, well, I do so much for you and I'm such a good friend. Like they would get defensive instead of saying like, you, like that's a beautiful, mature way to handle it. It's saying, I am so sorry. Thank you for letting me know. I'm going to be careful to say that thing. And that's why you are not a narcissist, but a narcissist would be the opposite. Not the opposite, would be like, oh, you're giving me shit about that. I've been such a good friend to you. And then list all the things that they've done for you. And it's, you know, you, or they'll say, you're being too sensitive. Do you love that when people say that? You're too sensitive. And it's like, no, you're a jerk.
Yeah. I've gotten that loads. And I remember my roommate saying someone said that to her and she was like very upset. And I was like, the way that I dealt with it was, because people call me sensitive, like in the past they've called me sensitive, and I'm like, yeah, but that's what makes me a good person. Okay, so yeah, I might be like, that kind of hurt my feelings, but also I'll get you a present on your birthday.
Yeah, I happen to be very sensitive as well, but I think I'm sensitive to other people's feelings also. Like if someone came to me and said what you said to me triggered me, I would say thank you, like you. Thank you for letting me know. I'll be careful not to like bring that up or say that in that way, you know?
Yeah. And I think for the listeners as well, there might be things where you've heard yourself say that. And if you're like, oh shit, I've said that to someone, it's just learn not to do it again. Cause that's how you know, like there might be times where you feel in a friendship, well, I have given loads to this person and now they're getting mad about that. And that can happen sometimes too, but it's like, I think there's like a list of things that just are kind of emotionally abusive and you don't maybe realize it, but saying like, oh, I've done all this for you, or I'm like, oh my God, oh, it's a fly. I thought it was a fucking cockroach. Oh my God, my heart. And we all have to learn like how to talk to people, how to put your argument across that's not like going to also make the person defensive or upset or gaslight them. So it's like,
I guess you could, but you know, I think it was interesting what you said before of like, normalize distancing yourself from toxic people, friends, boyfriends, relatives. Normalize if someone's toxic and not bringing up your energy, distance yourself.
Yeah. And you don't owe them anything. Like the listeners know, I haven't spoken to my mother in 13 years, and people will be very judgy about that. And his family members, they'd be like, you know, like, well, you should blah, 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 blah. But long story short, it's the best thing I did. And removing yourself from something that affects your mental health, if it's a friend, a cousin, a boyfriend. And you have to ask yourself too, because especially when you said that, it was great because it was like, why aren't I expecting a title? Why am I like, I'm sleeping with him nearly 17 times a week, like a lot. It was like going over to his house all the time, watching his DJ shows, you know, he serenaded me in his apartment. And you know, it made me really question, because I wanted to be chill and cool. And it was like, oh, I need to have value of myself and set out what I deserve. And if you're in a, and then that goes for people who are in toxic relationships. And now this guy wasn't like super toxic. He's a little bit toxic, but I've been with guys who are more toxic, but you start to think you deserve it. It's like metaphorically cutting yourself or whatever. So you have to be like, okay, well, why am I doing this? Why am I dating these men? Why am I not setting my expectations to a certain standard? What is
going on? Yeah. Right. How I feel about myself. Yeah, exactly.
Also, I liked what you said about read a book. Is that what you said? No, it's true. It's true, because I'm in a relationship now. We're nearly together 4 months, and we were talking for about 3 weeks before, but this is the longest relationship in America that I've had. And I'm like, it's a little boring. Like, it's great. We laugh and we have a lot of fun, but I'm used to guys like checking my, I'm used to going out to my friends and be like, he checked my pulse, or he tried to borrow $700. And I realized that it's like, oh, all of my toxic relationships were like a lot of what I talked about on stage or what I talked about to my friends. So I was like, I just need to, so I started Googling like octopuses and National Geographic. Now I have like a lot of like animal facts. I know the cheetahs are little whores.
It's so funny. That's fucking hysterical. So you traded your hobby of dating abusive or toxic men for animal facts. That's hilarious.
But it is like, it's at some point you have to go, I was the problem, because like after a while it started to get a bit embarrassing. Like, it's like there was a string of men with the same, I would attract a lot of narcissists. And I think in our profession we attract narcissists anyway, because, or if you have a shiny personality, a bubbly personality, men who are narcissists specifically want to be in that limelight. They want to be in that radiance. If you're like the one at the party that's sociable, they want to be in that, and then they neg you because they're not it or something. They're fucking mental. But
narcissists want everyone in the room to like them, or they want to like, so they'll be overly charming, overly complimentary. And then there's a shift where everything you do is wrong. And then you go, what happened to the person who thought I was the sun, the moon, the stars? Once they get you, then they want control of how you feel about yourself. That's a narcissistic behavior.
Yeah, that's so true. When we started this podcast, I was dating a guy who, he was very abusive. And I remember Des being like, well, you need to leave. this is a lot. But and there was like a lot in the few months. Yeah, we were only dating 3 months. We broke up, we got back together for a month, but he, and the listeners know, he like checked my pulse to see if I was lying. There was like a lot of stuff. But one thing he did that just reminded me what you said was, and right before I broke up with him, I sneezed, and I have allergies over here, which I never had in Ireland. And also for the listeners, it's the same guy who didn't believe in space, which, you know, this is a lot. He didn't believe in outer space. I know. I was really like, Katie, what are you doing? It's so embarrassing. But he's really handsome. So, you know.
It's hilarious. Oh, it's just funny. It's funny.
Oh, my God. But he. I know. Yeah. But we were getting the bus back. He lived in Jersey. And we were getting the bus back from Jersey. And I sneezed. And I have allergies since I moved to this country. And like, it gets worse and worse every year. And I have to take tablets. And it's like a proven, there was like an article about it, about like immigrants coming over from Ireland because we don't have as high pollen. So there was like, there was even an article about it, for God's sake. And then he said to me, I sneezed and I was like, oh, these allergies. And he was like, he had like a Russian accent. He was like, you don't have allergies. I can't even do it. And I was like, I do. Why would you say that? And he was like, you don't. And I don't understand what is going on. But he was very adamant. He was like, you don't. That's ridiculous. And like, he argued with me about it. And it was just like, I was like, oh, I can't even, like, he had to be so controlling even down to allergies.
Right. He has to diagnose you. Like, you can't have this synopsis. You can't have this hypothesis that it's allergies. He has to control. That's control, 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 control. You know, you can't have an idea. He has to have the idea.
Oh, yeah. Like, I remember I was putting honey in my coffee and he like took the spoon and was like, this is how you put it in. And I was like,
God.
But I at the time just like took the honey and like, I poured it on his arm and I was like, what are you? I was like, I can't remember what I did, but I was like making a joke out of it. And I was like, no, this is how you pour it in. But like in hindsight, it's like, oh, that is like so controlling. I can't believe. But anyway. Yeah. You guys gotta.
Don't be embarrassed by it. We've all dated down and we've all dated toxic people and been involved with toxic people. It's a learning experience. Don't be embarrassed about it at all, you know?
No, I know. But yeah, it's nice now. Like, I am dating someone who is like really normal and emotionally intelligent and great, but it's like, it took years to get out that cycle. So I guess for listeners, if you see this in French, I'm just a big, and you know what, people are like, don't ghost. I'm like, ghost. If someone's too much and you can't, because sometimes if you confront and they're like narcissist or argumentative or dramatic, it's going to cause more problems. And you can't, this is the only thing. It's not my job to teach you how to be. It's like, if you're going to be mental about things, and I mean saying mental in the nicest term, but like, if you're going to be like, cause me like too much, like, it's not my job to teach you how to be like empathetic or emotionally intelligent. So, you know, you can just be like, with partners, you can be like, good luck, thank you, goodbye, and you don't need to entertain them too much. But even with friendships, right, just distance yourself. That's what I do a little sly back.
Right, it's the slow fade, right? It's the slow fade out of the relationship. I agree with you. Sometimes, especially like you just said, if you're involved with a narcissist, having a conversation, you're going to get nowhere. It's not going to be a conversation. It's going to be a brawl. It's going to be all out fight, and they're never going to see your side. They're always going to think you're the evil one and they're the good one. In a narcissistic world, they're perfect, you're evil. So it's not going to work. So I agree with you. Distance yourself little by little. Have boundaries with those people.
Yeah. And if it's a person who, you know, you thought was a narcissist or you thought was argumentative, and they might actually come to you a few weeks later and be like, look, I saw that you've been pulling away. Can we have a chat about this? That's probably not narcissist. That's a person who maybe was just going through some shit and they're going to I want to fix this. Because sometimes there is people who, or just people who go to therapy and they really work on themselves and they're like, oh, God, I was such a selfish knob. So they'll kind of make their way back to you and be like, is everything okay? And then there could be a lot. And like, if it's, because if it's normal people, not that, oh my God, that's awful to say. And that listener's going to be like, not that narcissists aren't normal. I know they're normal. They're actually very high in the population. So, but I mean, if it's someone who has their shit together and is empathetic, you know, you will be able to. So this is only for if it's like a toxic thing. If it's a normal thing and you fall out, you will be able to go like, hey, this has been bothering me. And then the other person will be like, oh, my God, I've just been so stuck in my own shit. I didn't realize. And then like I had another friend recently where I was like, I just feel like you guys never invite me out. And I totally understand that I'm busy and stuff, but I just would love to be invited out, even if it's like it's shite. And she was like, absolutely. she was like, oh, we just that last couple of times we just kind of randomly met up and it, I just didn't think of it, but you're dead right, you know. And she was like, you're always there for me with stuff and I will 100% make more of an effort with that, and I'm glad you told me. So
yeah,
this works out well when the person is, but you just gotta know, you can sense it anyway.
But you also, yeah, you can. But I also think the way you approached it was really nice. Like, you didn't come out accusatory. You said, hey, like, you probably don't even mean this, but, you know, I'm feeling like this way. And then you didn't come out like that. You bitch. Why aren't you inviting me places? You know, like, if you come out that way, people are going to get defensive. But if you go, hey, like, you probably don't even mean it. It's probably not personal, but I feel left out. Is there, like, I feel like you guys don't invite me places. There's something I did wrong. Like, you come from that angle, people would be understanding it, right?
I agree. I think always come with that angle. Always come with the angle where, me and Brendan spoke about this a little bit on a couple episodes ago, but where, because you just don't, like, you might think it's personal. I promise most people it never really is. And they'll probably tell you, they might, like, and if it is person, so if you always come to it like a, hey, well, you know, what's going on, this is like, because it could be just that I literally have a friend now and we used to meet up every week for dinner. She hasn't been able to meet up for the last 3 weeks. I know that's nothing to do with me. I just know she's moving. And but if I were like you know, if I were like to take that personal and I was like, hey, you fucking cunt, why don't you meet up with me, and she'd be like, fuck you, I need to be able to get my life together, and she'll see me when she can. And then also as well, if we meet up in a week and she was like, oh look, actually I've found the last few times we've been together it's all about your stuff and I just haven't gotten to talk about my stuff, I have to be able to go, do you know what, you're right, and learn from that and go, and next time you're together, be like, so what's going on with you? Because it's like, it's not a, and that's the problem. People get defensive. It's not a personal dig at you. Sometimes you might be just talking about your shit too much and you didn't realize.
Yeah. And it's nice of a person to say, hey, like, I feel like every time we get together, it's just your problems and it's emotionally exhausting for me. And that's why I don't want to go to dinner with you. That's nice. And then you could be aware of that for your other relationships and be like, oh, I got to remember that I do this sometimes, you know?
No, it's so true. I've even noticed now, like, that hasn't happened to me recently, but I've noticed myself with my new roommate. He's a comedian and he hasn't said this to me, but I made a mental note of it, that the last couple of times I've talked about comedy, he's had like mild anxiety, and I'm like, I need to stop, because I got comfortable with, we're both comedians, I'm being like, oh, you know, this is so stressful, like, I haven't heard back from this. And the last two times specifically, I noticed that he looked quite anxious, and I was like, I can't be doing this. I can't. So I made a mental note of like, no comedy conversations around him unless he brings it up. And he hasn't said it because he's such a nice guy, but I'm sure it would have been a matter of time where he would have been like, dude, I can't listen to comedy stress anymore.
I know. I got to turn it off once I get home. I need to, like.
Yeah, exactly. So you just have to be aware to yourself. Just self-awareness. I don't know how you do it, but.
I know, self-awareness. That's a line thrown out a lot. Yeah, self-awareness.
I thought it'd be funny, since we were talking about dating, even though we went into narcissistic friends. So just to round up that little conversation, dump your friends. But so wait, oh yeah, what I wanted to ask you. So from what you said to me before, you said that you don't, if you don't mind talking about this, you don't sleep with the guy until you have a label, is it? This is amazing.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, it's survive. It's listen, I can't speak for all women, or I personally cannot sleep with someone without getting attached. If I want to sleep with you, there is an emotional connection and a physical connection. And if there's not an emotional connection, there will be eventually if we sleep together. So maybe I could sleep with it. You know, I take it back. I probably could sleep with the guy once and be like, okay, it was just a hookup. But if I'm continuously sleeping with you, then I'm going to get attached and it's going to be too complicated. So I need a title to feel like, okay, you'll be there.
And how do you bring that up to the guys you're dating? And when do you bring that up?
When they try to have sex, I've been honest. I've been like, hey, like, I just, that step is important to me. And it changes. I get attached to sex. Sex is like something that I can't separate. I can't compartmentalize it. So I need to have a title to feel like, you want, you know, you'll be there, you'll take, there's a commitment here, there's a, you know.
I think that's great. I think it's great that, again, that's back to self-awareness. You know that about yourself. You don't budge on it. And you're able to communicate that. And how do the men respond most of the time?
I haven't had too many men bail. Like, I don't know. They respected it, I guess. And then eventually they were like, okay, we're official.
That's
great. I've told people this story of my plan or whatever, how I deal with it, not a plan, but, and people said, well, yeah, they'll call you their girlfriend and they'll still sleep with you, but like they'll break up. And okay, fine. I mean, there's no foolproof way to not get hurt in a relationship. I understand that. But for me, this is a thing that makes me feel more secure, you know?
No, I think that's great, because I think already you're setting, hey, I'm looking for something serious. Yeah. And B, a majority of men who just want casual will just run away from that. And it's great because you're avoiding yourself a couple of months, which I've had in loads of month situationships where they haven't wanted anything serious and been shocked when I've wanted. But again, I was sleeping with them and seeing them multiple times a week. So I thought their actions were, oh, of course, I'm like a girlfriend type. But you have to be very, you have to really have that. You have to really communicate that and really have that conversation.
Right. You have to say people say, oh, that's old fashioned to ask someone your girlfriend. I'm like, I think it's necessary in modern dating when things are like, you could have different types of relationships. It's, you need a title, you need the conversation. So.
Yeah. And a couple of dating coaches I had on here too, specifically said the same thing as you. They said like, hold out the sex until you've had a few dates. There was one guy specifically, he said, don't sleep with anybody until you have the label. And he said you date people. His advice was to multiple date yourself until you choose. But he was like, yes, don't sleep with anybody until you've had what you're exclusive looking, or you're looking for a relationship, all of that stuff.
Yeah. I mean, and again, some people can sleep around and compartmentalize it and like keep it casual. I cannot. So if you know you can't do that, that's the way to go. So
I can't. It's like I could be like, I've slept with one guy this year, obviously before my boyfriend, where I just didn't want to be with him again after that. And it was definitely more of a hookup. He wanted to keep hooking up, but I was just like, nah, this guy. But that was more because he managed to talk himself out of me ever liking his personality. He was just very condescending with comedy and all that stuff. Not a bad person, just doesn't get it. And that's fine. That's not what I would want. But he was like kind of sexy. So I was like, fuck it, I'm going to have fun. But I'm very rarely like that. Most of the time I was going on these dates with this other guy, a British guy, and we slept together too soon. And I got very attached. Like I was definitely like wanted to date and kind of disappointed then when he wouldn't want to go on a date at least once a week. And I was like, I'm like, well, we met on Hinge. I told him I don't do casual sex, but we still had sex and it still ended up being casual. And I was like, oh, you can say these things, but they don't listen.
No, there's like, okay, whatever. I'll figure it out later.
Well, it's good for the listeners to hear that who are, cause sometimes we're told to be so chill and go with the flow and stuff. But I equate sex with a lot of feelings. Unfortunately, I'm not.
Yeah.
And it's, like you said, it's totally fine if you can do that. I'd love to be able to compartmentalize, but I can't. I'm just like, I love you.
Yeah, that's exactly it. I get emotionally involved in sex. And like, you know, as far as being the cool girl, like you are inherently a cool girl, Katie. Like you are an easygoing, well, you're like, you're a level-headed, easygoing person. Having standards doesn't make you not cool. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Having standards is like, I'm a loving, giving person. And if I'm going to let you in my life, I have to have a certain criteria, you know?
Yeah. No, that's,
but you're still a cool girl. Yeah. You're still cool. You know, I went through the same thing. Be chill, be cool. Like, don't, you know, but then, you know, you have to protect yourself at a certain point.
Yeah, it was, well, it's propaganda that was put out by men, I think.
We talked about this, I think, in the park. We live in a fuckboy culture. Like our moms, like, or you know, the baby boomers, or even like the generation after, they didn't have fuckboy culture. It was, you met at 20 or whatever, you got married. There wasn't like dating around, but we normalize fuckboyness now. So we normalize that fuckboy behavior.
Yeah, and I was on a podcast recently where I was like nearly arguing with the host. And again, I was very clear. I said, look, I'm coming from my perspective, A, as a woman, and B, as a from a different country, maybe. I don't know. But he and I had two guys friends here. Okay. Both of them. One of them specifically has every time he casually dates a girl, she like falls for him and he's like, what am I doing wrong? And I was like, well, firstly, you're fucking dating them. And he was like, what do you mean? And he takes these girls out for dinner. He texts them in the morning. He stays over. He sees them multiple times a week. I was like, if you want to keep it casual, fucking meet up with her for drinks after 10 or 11. Also state. Well, he says, I state that I'm not looking for something serious. And I was like, but your actions are showing different. So if you... I was like, this, you are literally what a fuckboy is because you're fucking with her emotions. And he was like, oh my God. He was like, I don't mean that. And then he was like, I said, okay, so you can only meet up with her at 11 and don't stay over. And he was like, but I like cuddling. And I was like, well, yeah, but then be a boyfriend. And he was like, but I don't want to be a boyfriend. I was like, you're fucking with her head. These women, that's why.
You're leading her on. Agreed. And then you're leading her on.
Yeah. And then he's so shocked when they're like, what's going on? And I had another friend and the same thing. He was like, oh, I want to meet someone, but I want to keep it casual. And he met this girl and I said, okay, whatever you do, just only night drinks. Don't stay over. Did he listen to me? No. I mean, he's like spending all the time. Like I've met the person. And I'm like, okay, I'm just like not giving advice anymore because I'm like, these guys aren't listening. And I'm just like, well, whatever, but it's going to blow up in your face. And like, hopefully, you know, they all end up in relationships. Grand. But it's like,
yeah, I don't know. It's so funny you're saying that. I know a guy like casually and I was talking to him and he's like, yeah, I'm going to Puerto Rico. And I was like, who are you going to Puerto Rico with? He's like, oh, there's just some girl I'm seeing. I'm thinking, that's your girlfriend. Yes. What do you mean? Just some, you're like, that girl probably thinks you two are boyfriend and girlfriend. You know what I'm saying? I mean, maybe not. Maybe she's also just looking at him like some guy she's seeing, but I think you're talking about her so casually, but you're going on a full out vacation with her.
Yeah. Well, so this podcast host, it's funny that you said it. Cause the podcast host that I was on, he was like, if roles were reversed, cause he was talking about a friend who was seeing this woman for 6 months. And then she found someone else's underwear and got really mad at him. And he was like, but if roles were reversed, women are allowed to do whatever they want. Like if you don't have the conversation there. And I was like, no, because, and I truly believe most women will not invest time in someone that they don't think is a relationship. I won't be seeing anyone before 10 p.m. if they're not potential boyfriend. Cause I'm like, I'm going out with my friends. I'm doing my own thing. I'm not wasting that time. I was like, that girl's probably pissed off because she's just invested 6 months in time of a guy who turned out to be a fuckboy.
Right. Yeah, of course she's upset. Yeah.
So no way that girl is going to you go to Puerto Rico with your friends unless he's paying for it. But even then I had a guy offer to bring me to Hawaii and I was like, then I have to have sex with him. I don't know. And then I'm going like, you know, years later, I'm going to Hawaii with my girlfriends in a couple of months. So it's like, I personally wouldn't go away with anyone who's not a boyfriend or. I haven't even got away with my own boyfriend. This is wild.
I know. And I guess if like when you date, I think when you date like very, very wealthy men, that's how they casually date. Like I was watching the Tiger Woods documentary and he used to fly his girlfriends out to Vegas. And the girlfriends are probably like, wow, this is serious, but it's Tiger Woods. Like flying you out to Vegas is like taking a girl out for like dinner. Like it's just such a different caliber of dating that, yeah, for him, that is casual.
That is so
like a rich guy like, oh, you want to go to Paris this weekend? This isn't serious though, because this is like the money I'd spend taking you out to dinner.
No, that's so true. Yeah. So there is a big fuckboy culture, but it's just not even multiple. And again, that's totally fine to multiple day, totally fine to be non-monogamous, whatever you want. But this isn't this. This is fucking with your head and your vagina. So it's like emotionally fucking you. God, because even now my boyfriend, we've been dating 4 months, but he's like, his mother came to visit and he introduced me to her and I was like, it was really nice, but that's like so rare that they would even have you in their life like that and have me meet the friends and the family. Like that's very,
I know, the meeting the friends and family just means something to different people. It's like, For some guys, they literally introduce every girl to their mom. So like, but to me, if some guy introduced me to his mother, I'd be like, this is serious now, you know? Yeah. But again, that's why you have to get a title, because it's like everything means something to somebody else. So
that's so true. And also just asking, what do things mean? So like, being like, well, to me this is a big deal, or when you have the title, it's just different. Because I think the exclusive, so there's a lot, like, I don't know what it's like in Ireland anymore for the Irish listeners or wherever else you live, but for New York specifically, there's a lot of this exclusive talk. So you're exclusive before you're together, but it's a cop-out because you can really just kiss somebody else. It's like, whatever. Well, we were exclusive, we weren't together. And it's kind of having your cake and eating it too. So it's weird. And then people have different time frames too. Like, I remember my friend was like, so my boyfriend and I had said, I love you. Am I there?
Yeah, you're there.
Okay. So my boyfriend and me said, I love you quite early on. And she was like, oh my God, I wouldn't be saying that until 3 months. But the time frames are different. So we've known each other for 4 years and we were seeing each other like 4 or 5 times a week. So what we probably did in a month is probably, she probably would only see someone once a week.
Right.
A month. So it's also like your time frames are different too. Yeah. So someone introduced someone for 6 months who you're only seeing once a week and isn't really putting that much effort in, you might be like, well, we've been dating 6 months. And it's like, yeah, but does he even know your last name? Maybe not.
Oh yeah, you get to dictate your own timeline for these things though. Yeah. Like but again, I think it's, everyone has their own standards and you have to, I guess, be comfortable with having standards. It doesn't mean you're not cool. You know, if you're okay with someone not telling you they love you after a year, then that's okay. If you really don't care, but don't be like, I don't care, when internally you're like, oh my God, you know, like
I would hate that.
You don't care. Yeah, I would hate, personally, internally, I'd be like, why hasn't he said I loved you? It's been a year. Someone else might really, really internally be like, it's okay. It doesn't bother me. I don't get flustered about it. Like, you have to check in with yourself internally to see how you're feeling and honor that and be okay with that. And you're still cool. You're still.
I love this. We're going to call this episode, You're Still Cool.
Yes. That's the thing. You're still cool. You're honoring yourself and you're honoring your feelings, you know?
Yeah. And you'll also, I love saying check in with yourself and honoring your feelings, because if I'm honest, I'm like I'm cool and chill and stuff. I'm a little needy and that's fine, because someone else might say that's needy, but my boyfriend now loves, like, you know, seeing me 3 or 4 times a week, you know, making me tea in the morning, or with things that someone else would be like, oh, it's kind of needy. He doesn't think is needy at all. He's like, no, this is what I should do. So it's like,
it's not needy. I hate to tell you that. That's not needy.
I know, but someone else, you could have dated some douchebag who's like, that's kind of needy. You want to see me more than twice a week. And then you go on believing that that's needy and you're afraid to be So you have to be like, this is okay that I want these things. This is okay that I expect these things.
Yeah. To me, seeing a guy you're dating, like your boyfriend, wanting to see him 3-4 times a week, it seems normal. Okay. Again, everyone's different, but you have to check in with yourself internally. Like, you know, I guess seeing someone every day 24/7 is, I think, needy. Like, I know a guy that, like, when he dates a girl, he says that you should be together 24/7. That's his philosophy. And I'm like, I think that's a little unrealistic.
Yeah.
I think that's unrealistic. But listen, it's not, if he internally feels that he needs this, then power to him.
And he'll meet someone else who wants that too. And I'm me and Leland do see each other more now than before. We probably see each other maybe like there's one night where we don't see, or maybe one or two. But he also goes away for work some weekends. So, or then I'm doing shows late. So it kind of all balances out. But it wouldn't be like, I have to see you. If it's like, oh, I got shit to do, it's fine. But we just end up seeing each other. Like, oh, you want to go to the park? Or, but yeah, 24/7. But he'll meet someone who wants that. That definitely sounds like codependent. But he'll meet someone who wants that kind of...
fits that.
Yeah. Like,
right. To me, that would be, I'd be like, this is unrealistic. I can't be with someone who wants to see me 24/7 when we're not married. Even when you're married, my parents don't see each other 24/7. They do.
No, I get irritated.
Yeah. It's like, we need the space. Yes. But 3 times a week, Katie, is very normal.
Yeah. Yeah. And now I see Leland a lot more than 3 times, I'm sure. But there could be some weekends where he's away, so we'd only see each other 3 or 4 times. But, But yeah, and we talk every day. And I remember my ex in Ireland, we were together for 3 years, but like we lived together. So we were seeing each other every day. And when I'd be coming home for college, we would like call each other, just like chatting. And I've never had that over here with anybody where it's like, it's either been too much where it felt possessive. It's like a nice little boundary. But like you said, yeah, you just got to find the one that matches you. Like with Leland, it doesn't feel too much. It doesn't feel possessive. He's just like, yeah, he's
it's great. Not natural. You guys are on the same page.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. No, it's good. I'm lucky. So, I think we should round it off there. I was going to say, but maybe I'll save this for a different episode. I was going to have you been going on first dates after the pandemic?
Oh, actually, I do have a boyfriend now. So
this is great. Oh my God. Yeah. How long have you guys been together?
Since April, we've been together. Our first date was January, but he had a situation with the ex, whatever, but we were official last week of April was our official, like.
I love this. So you're like the same as me and Leland. So you guys are 4 months.
Yeah.
Oh my God, this is so great. How did you guys meet?
He actually produces comedy. He's not a comedian, but he produces comedy out in Connecticut. And I did one of his shows and and then it's been really great. He's I've never been treated like this. And it makes me realize, I think similar to your situation, it's a relationship where you realize, oh my God, this is a relationship.
Yeah.
This is a relationship. He goes out of his way for me. He makes sure I'm happy. I make sure he's happy. We communicate, we want to see each other. He supports me. It's like you look at all your relationships, you're like, what was I thinking that was a relationship or that was a good relationship, you know? So it's a good fit.
Yeah, that's great. That's exactly how I feel too. I love that. The other night, Leland was, and I should have said this, I do like solo Patreon podcasts where I just like gossip about my own life, but I forgot to say it. So I'll just say it here, but he was like, very happy because I'd met his mother and his family and his uncles and I'd spend a few days with them. And then I was lying in bed with him and he's really struggled with relationships, just kind of like he's always wanted a girlfriend and it hasn't worked out. And he really likes affection and he hasn't really met, there's a couple of things he's wanted. But I was in my head, I was kind of listening, but I was like, oh, this will be really funny to lick his shoulder, just because at the same time he said, you've been the girl I've been waiting for, as I started to lick his shoulder. And I was like, okay, well, we were on two different points there. I'm so sorry, I was being weird, but that's very romantic, thank you.
He probably loves that you do like cute funny things like that, you know.
Yeah he definitely likes weird people, and a lot of his friends are weird, very lovely people. I can see that. I'm like, oh, it's funny because some of his friends I'm like, they're great, but I'm like, oh, they have prepared him for being with me. Not in like a, but like one of his best girlfriends, she's very weird and sweet, but like I'm like, oh, I could see more recently, I can see me really vibing with her, which I hadn't before, because I was like prejudiced, because she's like much younger than me and they were also close too, so I was like a little nervous. Yeah. And I didn't want to, and I've had girls before kind of come between me and my guy friends, and I wanted to make sure that I didn't like, you know, that they had that. So it was like a whole thing going on in my head. But the last couple of times, like he's been like he's like brought us all together, and I'm like, oh, she's like great, and like I could totally, she's like very weird, and I could definitely vibe with her. And then his best guy friend has like he has like anxiety, and I have anxiety, and I can overthink, and it's gotten better over the years, but is definitely an issue. And he just knows the right thing to say. He's very calm, he's very understanding. And the more I'm with his best guy friend, I'm like, oh, okay, these are like both of me.
right. Yeah. But that's great, Katie. You deserve it. You know?
And you do too. I'm so happy. I love this. And I love that this guy was like very respectful, your guy, clearly, because you have your system and he obviously respected it.
Yeah. Yeah, actually, he was at the show. You did my show at Baby Brasa, and you did so great. And actually, he thought you were very funny.
Oh my God! Oh, I wish I hadn't met him. Oh,
I didn't introduce you to, but yeah, see, that you're very funny.
I'll have to come hang out at the show again, because Tori did it last week, right?
Yeah.
Oh, she's great. So great. I was like, you're going to have so much fun. I was like, order an appetizer, get yourself a red wine.
The side and the drink, right? Yeah, she's very, I love Tori. She's the best.
Well, that was the first show I've hung out at in a really, really long time after a show. And I was like, this is so much, like, I haven't hung out and just like drank with comics. And the fact that you had a green room kind of like on the side, it was like, yeah. Oh, we all really needed it. There was a couple of friends there I hadn't seen in like a year. And then my friend came out. He's such a nice comedian and he had a great time and he was just watching the show.
Yeah, it was
so great. Great show. So for any listeners in New York, what's it? The Shit Show?
The Shit Show is every Monday at 8:30 at Baby Brasa in the West Village. Yeah. So like I said, Katie did my show last week and she was so funny.
Okay. Where can the audience find you? The audience.
Oh, on Instagram, The Amanda Gale. And yeah. And check out my show at Baby Brasa. It's really fun.
Okay, great. I love you. This is so much fun. Thank you.
This is great. Thanks for having me.
Okay. Thank you so much for listening. And don't forget to follow Amanda everywhere. And if you could sign up to the Patreon, that'd be great. Patreon.com/shift podcast. And if you could rate, review, and if you have any advice you need or any suggestions for topics or guests, please just DM me at Katie Boyle Comic. But other than that, have a lovely week. Bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.